Before we open God's word together, let us unite our hearts in prayer. Almighty God, we are thankful unto thee that thou dost inhabit the praise of thy people, and that thou art willing to join our circle graciously as we come unto thee in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we might partake of thy living word and feel and partake of its living power in our lives. Make us worthy vessels, ready to receive our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he is. We pray that thou would bless thy word and bless each and every one who has come to hear in thy own way to guide us aright unto the path that leads unto thee for eternity. Bless thy word and be with us, for we need thee each and every hour, and we ask these favors in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'd like to read with the help of the Lord again from the Old Testament, from the book of Ruth, a few verses in chapter 3.
Книга о Рути, третя глава.
I'd like to just read the first five verses to begin with as we meditate upon this scripture this afternoon. The book of Ruth takes place during the time of Judges. It's an old passage, but it has something for us. Chapter 3 begins, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down. And he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." I'd like to conclude with verse 5 for now. The story of Ruth is one that many of us remember hearing in Sunday school from little children. We love to read it and to be instructed by it. And one of the central themes and lessons that we can glean from this account is the lesson of the beauty of redemption. To be bought back. To be bought with a price. And we even sang together in our opening hymn of thanks to our Savior who has not forsaken us. Otherwise, we would be helpless orphans, taking unknown ways and strangers in a foreign land, just like Ruth, the Moabitess, who is a stranger. But nay, we dwell not as orphans here, for thou art present everywhere. And throughout the scripture, the word of God declares unto mankind and to each and every one of us the message of redemption through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it gives us great hope. It is a message worth sharing, especially as in this world, the clouds and the shadows of trouble, of uncertainty and pain come through our lives individually and as a group and as a country and as a world. We can share the beacon of hope that we found in the cross of Jesus Christ and show the world that there is an anchor for the soul that is settled in heaven, that we cling to, and share with others that they might find the way, that they might see the light, that they might be bought back, and they might be redeemed. Because without our Savior to redeem us, we would be forsaken and orphans wandering without any hope. Thanks be to the Lord for his unspeakable gift. Many of us have heard the call of redemption, have heard the message of Jesus Christ, have responded and appreciated and repented of our sins, and we feel that we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that he has forgiven us a great debt that we could not pay. And we look forward to a day when even these bodies, with all of their frailties, with all of their weaknesses, with all of the pains and the tears that they experience, will be changed into a glorious body that will not have any more tears, for God will wipe all of them away. There will be no more heart attacks. There will be no more cancer. There will be no more COVID. There will be no more sighing. There will be joy and rejoicing. And that's reserved for those that love the Lord. And my friend outside of Christ, you have some pleasures today that you can enjoy, but I have a very sad message for you. That if you do not turn to your hearts to the Lord in repentance and seek after your soul's salvation, the pleasures that you enjoy today are as good as it gets. It doesn't get any better after this. And the world will say, enjoy your life. Take pleasure. Eat, drink, and be merry. And then it's all over. How sad, how purposeless. There's nothing after that. But the Word of God says there is hope. And Jesus declared that hope in proclaiming the kingdom of God and said, it is near to you. It is at your hand. If you would but humble your heart, you would be able to see and recognize what God has prepared for those that love him. And you would desire it too. And you would give up everything to obtain it. If you really knew what it was, you would. God, open each and every one of our eyes. Even as Jesus opened the eyes of those that the two on the road to Emmaus, as he opened the scriptures and started at Moses and the prophets and declared all the things that spoke of him. Even the book of Ruth speaks of the redemption and the beauty of being bought back. The beauty of God's work, taking a helpless situation and changing it into a glorious situation through manifesting his power, his mercy, and to put his glory on display. He's a redeeming God, and he can redeem you. He can redeem your situation for his glory, for his purpose, so that it wouldn't be your life is lived, and then comes a tombstone, and that's it. But there would be a purpose in God's plan for your life and your experiences, and that right now today you would find that fulfillment in knowing that you're in God's hands. But how do we get there? In Ruth's life, and in everyone who experiences the redemption of God, there is a darkest hour. Ruth was no stranger to difficulty and hardship. We remember how she was introduced to the family when Naomi and her husband and two sons left Israel and went to Moab when there was a time of famine. The two sons found wives there. Their lives looked hopeful. They were hoping to get through the famine. And then one by one, Naomi's husband and the two sons passed away. And Naomi heard that God visited their people, and it was time to go back home. And as she went, Ruth declared her faith and her commitment to her mother-in-law, saying, "Where you go, I will go. Your God will be my God. Your people shall be my people. And where you die, I will die and be buried." And she stuck with her mother-in-law because of what she saw in the God of Israel. And when they arrived, it was the beginning of the barley harvest, an opportunity for Ruth to work and to glean from the fields. And they were provided for and they were sustained. And now there comes a time when the end of the harvest comes. And now what? So many of us have experienced that in our life when the sustenance and the pleasures of this life, we enjoy them for a season and then they end, and then we ask, now what? And Ruth is beginning to touch her toe to the bottom. Now what's going to happen to me? Did you ever think of what is going to happen to your soul? What would you do? Would you be able to do? Ruth had nothing. And so in the next chapter, Boaz describes to another man in the country that Naomi is getting ready to sell her parcel of ground, the inheritance that her husband had, that would get carried down in the family. They didn't have an opportunity to glean from the harvest. They were about to sell all the land that they had. And then what? Well, the next step would have been that they would sell themselves into slavery. And then what? And then they would die. And it would be all over. But God made a provision in his law that the inheritance could be redeemed. That someone could come along, could marry into the family, raise up children that could inherit that land and that could remain in the family, remain in that line, and they could continue. And there would be a future, somebody to work the land, somebody to own it, somebody to possess it. And Naomi tells Ruth about this. Because remember, Ruth is a Moabitess. She doesn't know all the culture, all the law. She's very attentive to Naomi and her instruction, but she's still learning. And she's feeling every pain and weakness along this journey. It's really different from Naaman that we read about this morning. Naaman had some wealth and some prestige and experience and power that sort of insulated him from his actual need. But not like Ruth. For Ruth, it was raw. Her need was exposed. It's kind of like when you fall down on the concrete. Kids know what this is like. If you're driving your bike and you've got some elbow pads, you hit your elbow, you're okay. You've got something to bear the brunt of the blow. But don't you feel really bad when you see a little child running on the concrete and you see them wipe out and their hands hit the ground and you know, oh, how much that stings. And you know that they're going to be bleeding and they're going to be scraped and cut. They felt it all. And you know what that feels like. She's feeling her need. And she's willing to do anything. Naaman wasn't ready to do anything. He had something that was kind of buffering the blow and the pain of his life. And many of us in our day who have everything that we need, who don't know what it's like to go a few days or a week without food and are hungry, to that extent, we don't know what it means to be hungry, and so it doesn't really register hunger and thirst after righteousness. because we don't feel it. But everybody who knows the mercy and the redemption of the Lord, they know and they feel their need. They know that they cannot provide. They know that they can't work their way out of it, out of the situation that they found themselves in. And they need one to help them. And every single one of us has a need. Some of us know it very well. And some of us don't feel it yet. And we like to protect ourselves from feeling that pain and that difficulty. But what if it made us willing to say, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do? What if we were willing to say that to the Lord? What if we were willing to respond that way to Jesus Christ when he says, you cannot love your father and mother more than me and be worthy of me. And you cannot love your life more than me and be worthy of me. We all have a need, and it's just some of us feel it more than others. We recognize it. And that is a moment, an opportunity for the word of the Lord to be brought to our remembrance. Just like it was for the prodigal son. My father has many servants, and they are filled with bread, and I'm here perishing with hunger. He was feeling it. He knew it, and he experienced it, and there was nothing in between him and the grief that he was suffering. Oh, but there's hope. There is hope for all who suffer, for all who are weary and heavy laden. See, some, they don't even know that they're carrying a burden, and they're just going about as happy as can be. But some feel it, and they need deliverance, and they know it, and they want it, and they desire it. And the Word of God has hope for that one, hope for that soul. Naomi instructs Ruth to go to the threshing floor and to plead with Boaz to be her kinsman redeemer. So this was the time when the grain was being threshed, either beaten or rolled over with a cart. And Boaz was hard at work, and there was feasting, and there was rejoicing at this time. And Boaz ate and drank. And Ruth does as she is instructed. She goes and lays down at his feet. And Boaz asks in verse 9, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. And she says, spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And some of these things that are explained, you might question, is this really appropriate? But what she's saying to him, not talking about the physical skirt, but the covering and the protection and the provision that someone who would take her in could provide. Do that for me. You know, sometimes the things that are said or done in these older cultures, they make us question, like even in the end of the last chapter, they're dealing with transfer of some property, and the man has to take off his shoe. And we think that's an interesting custom. It's an interesting way of expressing it, but this is what she's asking. She's pleading. Will you protect me? Will you provide for me? For thou art a near kinsman. And Boaz responds with a blessing to her from the Lord, and expresses such beautiful virtues that were demonstrated in Ruth. her faithfulness, her purity, her dedication, her love. Many things that describe a virtuous woman. And all of these things seem to wrap up in her attitude of submission. She's willing to submit and listen to Naomi. She's willing to entreat Boaz for his kindness, to beg of him, to ask. Sometimes we like to take control of our situation and not submit. But Boaz admires and is blessed by this relationship that he would have with a woman of virtue, something to look forward to. And he tells her, yes, it's true that I'm your near kinsman. Howbeit, there's a kinsman nearer than I. And, you know, if he's not willing, I am willing. You know, I wonder what went through her mind as she's considering, oh, there's somebody else? Okay, let's see what happens. How many disappointments does life bring us? How many false foundations does this world offer? But Jesus says, I am willing. I am willing, he said to his father, I am willing to go. Here am I, send me. He was willing to come and to bear all of the grief from the manger to the cross. And all along the way, he saw people in their need that he looked upon with compassion who asked, can you protect me? Can you provide for me? And he came and told them, I am willing. The willingness of our Savior and the willingness of God to buy us back is just overwhelming. And it should stir our hearts to motion and to love to tell others of the hope that we have in God, and that we are not hopeless orphans, but he has taken us in. And so, Ruth is anticipating and looking forward to seeing what will happen. And in the morning, Boaz gives her a plenteous amount of grain to take to Naomi. And she told Naomi at the end here, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. She started this wondering, what is going to happen to me? How are things going to work out? But now she receives a promise, a word from this man that says, I will. And all of us have heard the I will of Jesus Christ. And all of us have even seen his demonstration of his love as he went on the cross. And do you take hope in that? That's the only hope that we have, that Jesus Christ has demonstrated his willingness to pay the price for you, to pay the price for me, to forego what other options he may have had for our benefit, to take our miserable situation and turn it into one of beauty and glory to his Father, to redeem you and me. This is the beauty of redemption. And she gets excited. And maybe she's nervous about this other man, I don't know, but Naomi has to tell her, sit still. Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished this thing this day. And so Boaz wastes no time in going to the city gates and finds this near kinsman redeemer. Oh, this near kinsman that's closer, calls him over, and 10 of the elders of the city. And so I have something I want you to hear. I want you to maybe be able to verify that what we're doing is legitimate and according to the law. And he asks him and tells him that Naomi is going to sell her land, and you being a near kinsman, would you be willing to redeem, to buy back this land? And maybe being a man of means and real estate understanding, thinks about the land in Bethlehem that Naomi's husband owned and said, sure, I'll buy that land. And Boaz says, well, if you redeem the land, you also have to buy it back from Ruth. And thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. You have this obligation to marry her, and that children would be able to inherit the land. Oh. The kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. And so they made an agreement that Boaz would be the one that would redeem the land, marry Ruth. And we see that God blessed their family, giving them children, and even one of their descendants was David, King David. A blessing of redemption. And in chapter 4, this dialogue takes place between Boaz and the other man. And there's something quite startling about their discussion. And there's a connection I'd like to draw between our redemption and our experience in sin and the law. Because those of you who are outside of Christ, your experience is in sin and the law. And it's beautiful how it's displayed, and I imagine it like a play playing out. And these characters are representing Christ and sin and the law. And as they're sitting down and talking, sin is saying there needs to be a price paid for this in your life, what you've done. And the law says, here's the price. You have to give your best every year. And sin tells us, you better pay up. You better sell what you have. You better give it up. And I'm willing to take it. I'm willing to take your lambs every year. I'm willing to let you try on your own to give something good back to God. And you're working on it and it's costing you a lot. And Boaz mentions, well, what about her? And Christ asks, what about her? What about him? The one that's suffering underneath that load. Law, will you buy them back? The law says, oh, this is, no, that's not my place. I can't do that. I can't give that righteousness. And the one who struggles and gets turned down by trying on their own to overcome sin and to fulfill the law, he disappoints you. Actually, it's our own flesh that disappoints us. But Jesus sees our need. And he pays the price because he doesn't want to extract from us our possessions or our inheritance. He wants us to freely give the physical things that we have and lay them before his feet because he knows we don't need them. But he says, I will redeem her. I will redeem him. I want you and all of you. This is the blessing of the hope in Jesus Christ. He will take us. He will protect us. He will provide for us. He has paid the price. And we can look through the New Testament. Even if you take a look in your pew Bibles at the Concordance, all the verses that it lists about redemption, they're so beautiful and stirring. Those who are redeemed, those who are bought back, will find that there is much to give God praise for. to thank God for in his redemption. Even as in the scene that is captured in Revelation of the elders and the beasts and the angels and all of creation, they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. May all the praise, the thanks, be to the one who has redeemed us to God by his blood and has paid for us. And as he intercedes for us, he longs for us. He says, I will take you. I will protect you. I will provide for you. Go out into the world. Tell them of me. Teach them everything that I've taught you to observe, and I will be with you always. May God bless his word. Amen.